Crime Kooks with your hosts Emily and
Rachel, where we talk about crimes and perpetrators. In this episode, we will discuss Bonnie and Clyde, two lovers with an even bigger love for crime.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, you wrote it, so.
Yeah, I know.
Anywho, their story is really romanticized, like today, like in today's world, like it's kind of disgusting.
I mean, I guess so. I don't really pay attention, I gotta be honest. I don't really know a whole lot about Bonnie and Clyde. Like, I mean, we've done a little bit of, like, research into them, obviously, for this podcast.
Oh, no. No, I get it. It's just, like, you don't even... It's like, they paved the path for one of the cliches in romance. Like, it's the one cliche where it's like, you know, a bad guy finds good girl and turns the good girl bad because they were both in love and she's, you know, the whole scenario.
You know, just add a little bit of bloodshed here and there, a couple murders, you know, all that good stuff.
Only this one's real. I would like to talk about how Bonnie was supposedly really pretty. I don't even know what was, like, the style back then, you know? Like, okay.
So she could have been, like,
I just looked up a picture, and she was really pretty, though. She kind of reminds me of this one actress. Oh, my God. She reminds me of Gwyneth Paltrow. In this one
picture. Oh, let's not, no, let's not talk about her. We don't discuss Gwyneth Paltrow here.
Here, hold on.
We are only here for kids-safe topics.
Can we talk about the fact that she looks, like, happy to be with him, and he's just kind of standing there like, when will it end?
So I guess the relationship wasn't so perfect.
It could just be me. I'm not very good at reading the room, so.
Yeah, let's just move on from that. We're probably already boring all the listeners, but that's fine.
Yeah, anyways, she got married in high school to this guy named Roy Thornton. It was only a few days before her 16th birthday, so, like, if you're a freshman in high school or, like, early sophomore, that would be, like, you. And I cannot imagine getting married right now.
Yeah, I mean, when was this? Like, back in, like, I'm so bad with dates, I don't even know. So it might have been more accepted, but, like, that's still kind of weird.
Right. It was in the 1920s, I want to say. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, because they did a lot of robberies in the Great Depression, so it was prior to the time.
Right. But, anyways, so Roy ended up being abusive to her, but he got arrested for 5 years because of a robbery, and she never saw him again, and she also never got a divorce from him, which I think is whack, considering, you know, it's whack.
So, does that mean that she never actually officially got married to Clyde?
Married, or were they just in a relationship?
I don't know. They made it sound like they could have been married, but they maybe didn't. I don't think they did.
There's plenty of people who, like, don't get married.
That's true.
You know, I guess it kind of makes sense because they were always on the run. I mean, where are you going to find a priest who's going to be like, yes, I will allow
take one hostage?
Right.
I mean, they were criminals. It's pretty simple.
You know, I didn't think of that. You know, that works too. You're not wrong. This is so weird because thievery and stuff is not my, not something I'm super educated in.
Well, of course you aren't. I don't think you've ever stolen anything in your life, Rachel.
Oh, no. I also haven't murdered people, but I'm a lot more educated in murder than thievery.
Well, you gotta have something. It's like, you're so, I mean, I guess unassuming, if you will. I don't think you'd be a murderer. I don't see you as a murderer. You're just too nice, you know?
Thanks, I guess.
You know, you kind of have that in common with Clyde, because apparently he was supposed to be small and unassuming, so people didn't think he'd be committing crimes, so who knows?
Right.
mastermind, like, evil genius or something.
That's kind of neat. Well, you know, you say that, but, like, I don't know. I mean, he dropped out of school when he was 16, which isn't to say that he wasn't smart, because plenty of people are very smart. And they will drop out of school, or they just don't do well in school. There's plenty of reasons. It totally makes sense. It's just, I don't know. Like, he let his brother convince him to start petty thievery. And then after that, knowing it was wrong, he moved on to stealing cars and armed robberies.
Well, I mean, if you're good at it, why not continue to go with it? I mean, I'm not condoning thievery or anything. I'm just saying, you know, they tell us in school to follow our dreams, so.
Yeah, but his dream was to become a musician, not to be suspected of and wanted for murder.
Hey, dreams can change.
Listen. A guitar and a saxophone are both very different from a gun.
I mean, they can both be used as murder weapons, so I don't really see your point.
You know, anything can be used as that. That's not a fair point at all.
I think it's an excellent point.
Oh, okay. By the late teen, not late teen, yes. By late 1929, he was 20 and a wanted fugitive. So that's fun for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty fun. I mean, I think by the end of this podcast, people are going to think that I'm some sort of criminal. I mean, I might just be. I mean, I don't know. You don't know. We all just got to assume here.
I would definitely know. You're good at lying, but I've known you for long enough to be able to figure it out.
Are you sure about that?
Yes, for the most part.
For the most part.
I don't think you'd be able... I don't think you'd be able to keep it a secret simply because there's always that one mistake.
I feel like I just brag about it or I give, like, too much information. They'd be like, how do you know that? And I'll be like...
Oh, you absolutely would. Right. So Bonnie met Clyde in January of 1930 through a mutual friend, and Bonnie was a waitress at the time.
Okay, question. Do we know who this mutual friend is?
I don't know. Do we?
I don't know. Do you?
And I don't know, which is why I'm asking if we do, because then if I don't know and you don't know, then the answer is no.
Well, why would I ask the question if I didn't know?
Like, right after meeting Bonnie, Clyde was arrested, and she was like,
oh, yeah, so I got a boyfriend a week ago. He got arrested. You know, I'm just going to go ahead and give him a gun, and we can go on the run together. Sounds fun.
Right. The problem was, during his attempted escape, he got caught. And then he had 14...
Of course he did.
Right? And then he had, like, 14 years added to his sentence. And he was transported to Eastham State Farm, which was a different prison than he was at that she delivered the stuff to.
So they gonna break him out again?
Well, you know, I actually kind of felt bad for him. I'm not gonna lie. Because once he was transferred to the new... He got sexually assaulted, like, a lot there.
Okay, that's interesting and all, but... See, I can't say he deserved it, because nobody deserves that, but,
no,
like...
nobody deserves that.
He did a lot.
He did...
And who even did
it? Well, I don't think by then he had murdered anyone.
Okay, that is, like, totally random, too. Like, they just, like, everyone just sexually assaulted him there. That's...
I know. That's just... I can't... it's really utterly awful. No one should have to go through that.
Okay.
Yeah, but he really, really wanted, you know, parole so he could go be with her. And so he organized a quote-unquote accident during some of his labor or whatever, where he cut off his big toe along with another toe.
On purpose?
Yes.
Well, yeah, okay, I knew that. But, like, why? I can't even, like... I see that in TV shows where they, like, cut off their finger or dislocate their thumb to get out of, like, handcuffs.
Right.
And I just can't even imagine doing that to myself. Like, that sounds painful. Right? I'm a wimp.
It sounds painful. And then not only that, it gave him a permanent limp. And he had to drive with socks on. Like, only socks.
So he couldn't even wear shoes?
I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. All I know is that the worst part of it is his mom had already convinced the judge to let him out, so the accident was unnecessary.
That's gonna sting.
he was released February 1932. So that was a thing that happened, and honestly, he just, I can't blame him for even going through that, though. I mean, like, cutting off your own toe to get out of something to where you're being sexually assaulted, as well as not being able to be near the woman you love, you know.
But, like, didn't they just meet? How does he know he loves her? I mean, I get love at first sight, but, like,
they
only knew each other for, like, a little bit.
Yeah, but, like, supposedly you know when you know, and
that's impractical.
So they finally were able to meet up again, and he tried to live a normal life, to get a job at the Dallas Glass Company, but, you know, for some reason harassment can't leave him alone, and police harassment caused him to lose that job. So he created a gang, and Bonnie joined it.
Life of crime. Now, this is what I know about. This is where I come in.
Exactly.
So, as most people know, he did rob banks and small businesses during the Great Depression, a lot of them. Apparently, he killed a store owner and a police officer. I doubt that's all he killed, though.
Oh, no. It was just, like, during one of the bank things, he killed... No, I'm sorry. That wasn't a bank. That was the small business. Almost a 2-year period of crimes over several states is, like, what he and the gang, you know, his gang, because I don't know what else to call it. Calling it the gang kind of made me think of Scooby-Doo, though.
But, yeah, gangs. It did. It lasted almost a 2-year period. And actually, because their crimes lasted so long and such, I assume, the FBI became interested in Clyde around the time of December 1932, and it was all because of one little piece of evidence. It's literally ridiculous. After all the things that they did, the one thing right. that got them caught was a stolen car. Like,
I mean, listen, the Unabomber, the only reason he got caught was because he used the same thing twice in two different letters, and it was different from the way it normally is.
Okay, so you're kind of, like, leaving out the little part that he used the same idiom. Wasn't that what he used? And that's how they identified him? Because it was, like, a rare idiom that not really a lot of people use.
Yeah.
So they, like, compared his writing style or something?
No, they narrowed it down because he had switched it. This isn't about the Unabomber. The point is...
It's fine.
The point is, a car is a much bigger thing than an idiom in a letter.
Yeah, but, like, it just sounds crazy. It's like they found it it was, like, an abandoned Ford or something like that. It was, like, stolen in Pawhuska, Oklahoma, and was found near Jackson, Michigan in September of 1932. So it's, like, it's totally random. There are plenty of stolen cars.
But, oh, no, totally. I get it. It's just, you know.
But, like, I think what really got them caught was, like, later in Pawhuska in the same year, they found another abandoned Ford, literally the same exact type of car that had been stolen in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to identify through different clothing that they found in the car that a man and a woman were there. And... Okay, so this actually was a smaller item that did get them caught. It wasn't exactly the car, it's more what they found in the car. It was a prescription pill bottle that belonged to Clyde's aunt. So basically, it's all the aunt's fault that they got caught.
Okay, listen. If you're gonna leave stuff that has your name on it inside the car, I mean, like, they're gonna be able to be like, oh, this is a stolen car. Oh, look, it's a name. Oh, interesting. This is the dude that we've been looking for years. And, I mean, make the connection.
But this is the reason the FBI got involved. I don't think they had actually been searching for it. I mean, I know the local police departments probably were, but the FBI became interested in this case all because of that. And it's just, it's so dumb. It's always the dumb mistakes that get them.
Right. I don't know, man. All I know is I wouldn't be stupid enough to leave a pill bottle with someone I know's name on it inside the car.
You sure about that? Like, I feel like I'd do something like that.
Listen, if you're in a rush, maybe, but, like, we don't know what was... I don't know. I feel like I'd be smart enough to at least, like, get rid of the car somehow.
Yeah, I mean, with crime, you're pretty smart. It's kind of scary, so, yeah, you could probably get away with a murder if you really wanted to.
Thank you. I'm not going to because I don't want to do that, but, like, thanks.
You probably wouldn't steal the car, though.
No, I would not. I'd feel guilty. That's why I could never commit a crime.
Exactly.
Also, like, I'm not physically capable of doing anything like that, but, like, I'd feel guilty.
I can see you with, like, no remorse. Like, you just pretend to be guilty. That would be funny.
Oh, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I'm going to stop talking before, like, everybody who listens to this thinks that I'm, like, some kind of psychopath. I mean, I am, but, like, I'm not going to advertise it.
Well, you kind of just did even more, especially if no one was thinking it, but now you're telling people.
Listen, nobody has anything to fear from me. I literally just admit that you can see how dumb I am, so.
Right.
You know, this is about Bonnie and Clyde, not about me. Even though I'm a very interesting person, we don't want to talk about me.
Very interesting.
So we're gonna skip to May 20th, 1933. Guess what happened then? The U.S. Commissioner of Dallas, that's right, I'm already answering it for you, issued a warrant for Bonnie and Clyde, charging them with interstate transportation. Dallas to Oklahoma of the stolen car in Illinois. The hunt began.
Bam. Dang, the hunt.
Yes, well, they were searching for them, and I mean, they were pretty desperate to get them.
Makes me think of Fahrenheit 451, whenever they had that, like, what was that thing called? Chasing after the dude?
You have to be a little more specific.
Fahrenheit 451, it was the machine thing that was, like, the howler or whatever.
Okay, I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember anything from that book other than the fact that they burned books. So
right, the only reason I remember this is because someone brought it up with me the other day and I was like, I remember that. But yeah, it makes me think of that and how it was like, it just makes me think of a dog. I'm sorry. Anyways, so later and earlier in 1932, Bonnie and Clyde had begun traveling with a young gunman, Raymond Hamilton. He left.
He's like, yeah, I'm done with y'all fools. I'm just gonna go commit my own crimes here.
Yeah, he was replaceable. They replaced him with William Daniel Jones. That was in November, but backtracking even more, March, Clyde's brother, Ivan M. Buck Barrow, the one who got him into crime to begin with, he was released from Texas State Prison and was granted a full pardon by the governor, which is kind of stupid. I mean, come on.
What a suck up. Like, just imagine how much you'd have to, like, be nice to him and be like, I'll never do crime again, just to get a full pardon from the governor of all people.
Right. They ended up having a group of five because that dude, you know, Buck and his wife, Blanque. So they quickly became more popular, having committed several elaborate robberies and made national news, which, I mean, is kind of a pretty interesting feat. You know, you never think, oh, I'll make national news one day.
Well, I mean, if you're planning to kill a bunch of people in armed robberies, especially back in the Great Depression, you're going to sit out to getting on the national news. Just saying.
Listen, I don't think most boys, not boys. I don't think most people, I didn't mean boys, I was gonna, what was I gonna say? Why is that in my head? No, I was thinking because, like, I'm sorry, I was thinking ahead because I started thinking about, you know, like, I don't think Jeffrey Dahmer and Ted Bundy and the Unabomber, who were all male, which isn't a problem. There's plenty of female killers, too. I mean, episode 4. We'll show Yeah, episode 4 will show that very well, but, like, I don't know. They were just the first people I thought of because they were so popular, and so I was gonna say, you know, it just, I switched it on accident. Anyways, so, I don't think...
Where are you going with this? I'm so confused.
She's like, Rachel, wrap it up. So the place I am going with this is that, you know, I don't think you're born and you're like, oh, no, I definitely want to be a killer when I grow up. I want to make national television because I was a murderer.
Well, I wasn't trying to imply that was an aspiration of sorts, like a lifelong one. I was just saying that, like, if you're committing crimes like this, you're bound to get on the national news and you probably know it.
Listen, maybe you'd like it. I was talking to some people and I was like, are mobs even like a thing anymore? And they were like, I mean, yeah, you just don't hear about them. So, I mean, come on.
Okay, I guess fair enough. But why were you talking to people about mobs?
That's another stupid romance thing that I was like, listen, why do people keep romanticizing mobs? Are they like even still a thing?
Okay.
Everyone's like, oh, the mafia falls in, mafia head dude falls in love with normal girl, and
yeah,
it's cliche.
Totally cliche. Yeah,
just that's like the Bonnie and Clyde story.
Total. Yeah.
Anyways, total. I love that you said total. The totally.
I, you know, sometimes I just can't English, and that's okay.
Right. But anyways, in July 1933, a shootout with the police in Iowa took place, and Buck was fatally wounded, and his wife was captured.
Love how you just avoid saying her name because you don't know how to say it.
Listen, I should not be butchering people's names. I don't
know. Just like, no, we should say it in the most dumbest way possible. I like that. Like,
Listen. Okay.
Lancia. I like that. Lancia.
I don't know.
No arguments. I'm saying it now.
Okay.
Also, I have no idea what date you just said. I heard July 9?
July
1933.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I'm smart. I thought you were saying the date, you were saying 19, like July 19th, 1933, and I got really confused.
Silly goose. That's not what I was saying.
Don't call me a silly goose. You know I have a thing about that.
Ha ha.
You know, it's morally offenses me.
It morally offenses you?
Yes.
I want you to think about what you just said. Think about
let's
it.
Go back. Let's just go back to Bonnie and Clyde, where everyone is happy and people are being shot.
Anyways, so their gunman, William Daniel Jones, who was commonly called Pretty Boy Floyd, was captured in November as well of 1933.
What was that little noise you just made? Like, you expected it to happen? Of course we know it happened.
I mean,
sounds so pretentious.
No. I think it's funny they called him Pretty Boy Floyd. I don't know why. I just, like...
It's kind of a dumb
name. Like, the only time I've ever heard someone call a person Pretty Boy is whenever they're trying to, like, attack them. And it's like, why would someone be commonly... I don't know. Is that, like, a normal thing, and I'm just not in the loop? I mean, I'm not in the loop for a lot, so.
I have, you know, I'm not either. I'm, like, less in the loop than you. I don't know anything.
I know. I tell you so much, and you're like, ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. I just, like, you know, mm-hmm. You're my source. My confidential source.
I don't even have a source. I
people tell you stuff.
People, yeah, they just, I guess, I don't know.
All right, so you
around
Pretty Boy Floyd.
Right, Pretty Boy Floyd.
Hold up. I'm so confused right now. We just keep talking over each other. What were you saying?
Pretty Boy Floyd. Pretty Boy Floyd. Like I said, he was captured. You know how it is. You know, by the sheriff's office. But Bonnie and Clyde escaped capture and went on to commit more crimes together. You know, gotta leave the others in the dust. Don't go back. Never turn back.
Yeah. If you want to get away and get away with it, yeah, it's smart, if you ask me.
Right. Exactly. Later that November, the sheriff and deputies in Dallas set up a trap to capture them near Grand Prairie, but the couple escaped, taking a car from an attorney and abandoning it in Miami, Oklahoma, which I think is so weird.
Okay, hold on. I'm sorry. Just picture this for a moment. You're an attorney. You're driving your car. Someone just, like, basically runs out in front of the road, like, hey, give me your car, and then just, like, throws you out all GTA style and takes your car.
I'm fairly certain the attorney was at the bank.
Oh, that would make a lot more sense.
Because, you know, I feel like they would have staged it to make it look like it was open because, I mean, yeah, it was a trap, but if no cars are there, like, oh, I wonder what's happening.
Yeah, that would look totally fake if there's no car, so.
Exactly. So, like, you know, and if you're smart, you know, you scope it out for a bit. So you've got to see which cars are, like, normally there. So it's like, oh, this attorney is there all the time. So you see the car, you're like, ah, yes, there is the attorney I see all the time. And then the next
thing you know, like, premeditation.
Yes. And then the next thing you know, the attorney wasn't there, which wasn't a problem for them considering they were able to use their car, so.
Fair enough.
On January of the next year, prisoners like Raymond Hamilton were freed from the Eastham State Prison Farm at Waldo, Texas by Clyde and Bonnie.
Okay, they just, like, came in there. How are they getting around so easily? Like, I know that they're, like, master criminals and all that. I'm just still in awe of how they're getting around and just, like, able to free all these people. The police must have been, like, so peeved.
I know. You gotta wonder, how many shootouts did they actually get into?
I mean, it didn't sound like they get caught that much. I mean, they got arrested a couple times, but, like, I don't think there was exact shootouts.
And by they, you mean he. Bonnie, I don't think, ever got arrested.
That's true. She was a smart one.
Yeah. Which isn't to say Clyde isn't smart. He just had a tendency to get caught.
Yeah, and I mean, speaking of shootouts, when they freed those prisoners, two guards were shot by the prisoners with pistols, apparently, which had been given to them by Clyde, because he had concealed them somehow, which, again, I don't know how he's doing that, but I guess it's not that hard to hide. It was 1920. Pistols aren't huge, so he's
right
in pockets, but still.
Right.
Any security? Jesus.
Right? Like, listen. You feel like, I don't understand, why did they shoot the guards? Like, were they still, like, attacking? And if so, how did they not catch Bonnie and Clyde in there?
They shot them.
I mean, how. Yeah, but, like, I guess.
It's probably, like, how in TV shows where you're about to escape prison, then these two guards come up and are like, stop where you are, and then you shoot them and run out. Like, they're probably almost out, and then those
right.
two
guards. Listen. I'm not saying you should shoot anyone, but if you're going to shoot them, shoot their leg.
Yeah, but then they can still grab their weapon and shoot you.
They can grab their weapon and still shoot you, but if you get far enough away, what are they going to do? Run after you?
What if they walk on their hands? I don't know.
Walk on their hands?
Yes.
Emily.
What?
It's going to be painful. Actually, this might sound, I wonder, maybe they were able to, like, sneak in. I wonder if they did, like, a thing where, supposedly, if you stab someone and then punch the stab wound, it feels like you just punched them, so they'll just assume they got punched, and they'll just allow them to be bleeding, and they'll be like, ow, it hurts. And then, you know, the next thing you know, they're like, I gotta go to the infirmary, I'm bleeding out.
How do you know so much about this? What, are you planning on doing this to someone, just, like, shanking them?
Pinterest.
I'm not even gonna ask you to elaborate because I know how much time you spend on that app. It's scary.
Listen, I'm not interested in Instagram, and it's the only other, like, social media that's actually interesting that I have. So, well, like, social media, like, not Discord and stuff, because Discord's my jam right now.
How did we get to this topic? We just, like, it just spiraled into this.
We were talking about shootings, and then I brought up the thing about stabbing someone and then punching them, and then you were like, where did you find this? And I told you it was on Pinterest.
Okay, I show you why. We don't need to hear it step by step. All right. Give it a full explanation of how we got here.
Okay. Anywho.
It's just, yeah.
Yep, on April 1st, two highway patrolmen were shot by Bonnie and Clyde in Grapevine, Texas. And then on April...
Again, more people are dead. So much bloodshed.
Listen, listen. I never said they died. I just said they were shot.
That's true, but, like, I just assume everyone died because...
I mean, it's a fair assumption. It's just disappointing that you would just be so quick to assume.
You know what? No.
Yes. Anyways, on April 6th, you know, 5 days later, a constable in Miami was mortally injured by Bonnie and Clyde, who also abducted a police chief whom they wounded.
Okay, so I know I basically failed geography, but you got from Texas to Miami in 5 days.
Actually,
am I just dumb?
Listen, I don't think that's that bad of a drive. Like, if you got a car,
okay,
that's, like, maybe 2 days.
Okay, because, like, I basically failed geography. I'm really bad at this. I don't even know what the United States looks like. Like, what, 60 states? Probably. Who knows? It's like a mystery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I get it.
So, yeah.
All right, but.
So, yeah, they accepted that. But, you know,
what? And as we all know, all good things must come to an end.
I was about to say that. I was gonna introduce it, and then you just, all good things must come to an end. You stole my fire, Rachel.
I'm sorry.
How could you do that?
You were taking too long.
What? You spooned! You know what? No. Shh. So, yes, all good things must come to an end. I said it. That was me. The FBI continued to go through evidence, obviously, because they're working to find them, and thoroughly comb through. Okay, now I'm just thinking of people combing their hair. I don't know why they use that word. It's weird. Really? Anyway, yes. They began to go through what they had on Bonnie and Clyde, which I'm not sure how much they had. They probably didn't have a lot. I mean, let's be real here.
Right.
They were pretty meticulous. But they found something. They were able to comb through their evidence, and they eventually found a lead, which led them to the whereabouts of the crime couple. And on April 13th, 1934, an FBI agent was able to deduce their whereabouts somehow. Which, I don't know. These guys are smart.
I wish they would have told us how, because I really want to know. Like, were you just like the Unabomber thing. Like, they found him because of, you know, an idiom. And it's like, oh, yeah, they just kind of figured it out. Like, how?
Okay, hold on. Am I muted?
No.
Okay. I'm sorry. I just clicked a button, and I didn't even mean to do that. My bad. I'm just ignore me. I did something. I clicked something weird.
All right.
Okay. I'm smart.
Before dawn on May 23rd, it really took them a month. Wait, January, February, March, April, May. Yeah, it really took them over a month.
Like, even after they found their whereabouts, they still had to, like, talk to people. Like, I think they confronted Clyde's aunt again, or no. The person that they were, like, because they were living with people, I think, or they confronted someone they recently had a party with, so they didn't actually get, like, a, you know, solid lead until a month later. They figured out the general whereabouts.
Right. Which, honestly, I don't understand why they didn't just shut down a city. You know, like, just shut it down.
Well, think about it. They're in the Great Depression. I don't know if that was exactly a thing. I mean, I'm sure they did shut down cities, but that would take a lot of different messages.
I'm pretty sure they're out of the Great Depression by now.
Oh. Oh, crap, they are. Wait, no. Didn't the Depression last from 29 to 39?
This just shows how well I did in history last year.
Hold on. That's gotta be... Okay, let me just... Give me a second to search my brain hole. What I mean by that is look it up on the internet. Oh, right. I was right. 29 to 39, baby. They still in the Great Depression.
Dang. Okay. Well, at least we know now. But anyways, before dawn on May, you know, a month later, and 10 days, but, like, that's not important. A group of police officers from Louisiana, Texas.
Why'd you say it like that?
Why not? Don't come at me like that. And Texas, with Texas Ranger Frank Hamer, hid themselves in bushes along the highway near Sales, Louisiana, when Bonnie and Clyde appeared in a car, which, and attempted to make an escape, the officers opened fire. Bonnie
and Clyde were killed. Just gonna quickly, I think your voice just went up an octave when you said appeared. You're like, Bonnie and Clyde appeared in a car and attempted to escape. That was funny. I'm sorry.
Listen, I am so frustrated by that. Appeared in a car.
Right. I heard you pause too. Like, I heard you pause, like, just, like, give a sigh, like, dang it.
Listen, you are literally next to a highway. How fast are the cars going? How are you able to be like, oh no, this is definitely them guys? Like, how do you know you're not just shooting at random people?
It's fine. I mean,
is, like, it though?
Yes. Death is killing people is justifiable under the right circumstances.
You mean like self-defense?
Sure. Yeah.
Anyways, so one, yeah, so they were both killed on the ambush in Louisiana, and when they died, they were so popular that souvenir seekers ambushed the scene of their death in an attempt to take locks of their hair, pieces of their clothes, and one of Clyde's ears.
Okay, wait. They actually tried to, like, take it off the body after they'd been shot?
Yes.
People got out of their cars, ran towards them, like, oh, hey, guys, it's Bonnie and Clyde, those criminals I've heard about. Why are we still there?
If that is not one of the nastiest things you've heard, like, why do you want someone's ear?
I love you, like, say it for them.
Literally, it's gonna decompose anyways.
Bruh, you said ears, because, you know, they heard.
Get it?
Yeah, I'm not funny. It's okay.
It's okay.
Yes, it's okay.
Despite the wishes of the, you know, happy couple to be buried alongside each other, they were placed into different cemeteries. Which, it's like, I mean, come on, they're dead. What are they gonna do?
I mean, yeah, that's true.
Like,
I mean, yeah.
Nothing has gone very right in either of their lives. Except for, you know, meeting each other. The least you could do is give them the one thing once their life is over. You know?
Yeah, but, like, they killed a bunch of people. It's not like there are some martyrs.
No. I get it. But, like, They aren't nearly as bad as Jeffrey Dahmer.
I guess so.
But one of my favorite quotes from Bonnie is, she says, they don't think they're too smart or desperate. They know that the law always wins. They've been shot at before, but they do not ignore that death is the wages of sin.
So I failed English, obviously. And I don't know what any of that means. Who are they saying they? Are they talking about, like, criminals? Like,
I think they're I think Bonnie was talking about the police, because she said they know the law always wins, which is why they keep coming back, because, you know, they've been shot at before and they don't think they're desperate and they don't think they're being stupid. They're not ignoring that death is, you know, something they're wagering.
Okay, now I understand it. See, when I first read that, that hurt my brain. But now I get it now.
Right. Dang. Dude, I'm still so mad about that. Like,
why? Mad about what?
Them being buried separately. Well, okay. Yeah. No, but if they didn't get married, then it makes sense, because that might have been, like, taboo back then. You know what I mean?
I mean, there's plenty of other people buried near each other who weren't married, so listen, I don't know.
Listen, but they might not have had their wills written up. And if your will doesn't say something, I think it goes to, like, the next of kin or some other family member. The family member was probably like, I want them in this one. And the other family member was like, well, I want this one and this one. And so the next thing you knew, they did not been new.
What? Was that even English?
You know, yes, but it wasn't proper English.
Okay, we're just gonna move on from that before we confuse anyone else more. Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, separate in death, that does, I will admit, that does kind of suck. I mean, like, I know that they kill a lot of people, but still, I don't want their ghosts to haunt us. Not that I believe in ghosts, but, like...
Listen, you never know, man.
Yeah, like, I try not to believe in ghosts, but I'm secretly paranoid as heck.
I want to. I think that would be so neat.
Like... I mean, yeah. As long as I'm not starring in the Poltergeist.
Listen, I would love to, like, sit down and have tea with, like, a ghost from, like, the 1920s. And just, ow! Oh.
What just happened?
Well, you know, I bit my tongue while I was talking, so that's what happened.
That's nice.
But I don't know, I think that would be kind of nice. Like, imagine talking with Bonnie and Clyde, because, you know, you never really got, like, a quote from them, you know, like, why did you do it? It was just, you know, you're gonna die now.
Nice.
Am I wrong?
Well, no, but still.
Listen.
I am listening. You keep saying that, bro. I'm listening.
I almost said it again. The point is, like, forgot my point. We carried that on way too long. I don't remember my point anymore.
I mean, I don't think anybody remembers the point of this podcast anymore. Like, they're all going to be like, who are these random children talking about crime? Is this even legal?
We're not children. We're teenagers.
Okay. Whatever. Same thing.
Whatever. Yeah. Same difference. Whatever. Whatevs. But,
Please don't say that again.
I won't. But anyways, that's all we have for Bonnie and Clyde. So thanks so much for joining us on Crime Kooks. Tune in next time to hear about Jeffrey Dahmer. And let me tell you, he is whack. You do not want to miss that. And again, I'm Rachel.
And I am Emily. You know, awesome. I'm great. You know, don't forget it. I'm just going to carry this on really long so you know me as that one annoying chick from Crime Kooks. And don't be stupid and stay safe.